Well, we are pleased to have Joe back with us today. He's going to share with us, and I am pleased to be here because I get to see if he's going to. Are you going to do any more impersonations today of me? Yeah. Well, I'm here to watch you today. But come on up, Joe, and share with us. Thank you.
I will not be doing any impressions today. There it is. So, if that's what you're all expecting, it's not going to happen. It is such an honor to be here this morning. I was thinking about coming up and starting out with an attorney joke, but those are always so easy to make fun of attorneys. But I got myself in here, I've got Dad in here, and Billy's in the middle of law school. And I don't think we should be joking about us as much, because very soon we'll be outnumbering everybody else in here. So I'm just going to leave those ones alone. But I go to court a lot in Mitchell and in Yancey and some in Avery and some in McDowell County. But I actually did hear a story the other day from the police officers. And he was telling me that he was one of the North Carolina Highway Patrolmen. And he told me that he had pulled somebody over the other day. And I said, okay, that's interesting. And what was special about it? And he said, well, I pulled them over because they were going really, really slow on the interstate. And so he pulled them over and walked up to the car. And there were two people, a driver and a passenger. And the driver asked him, what did I do wrong, officer? And the officer told him, he said, well, you were going 26 miles an hour on a major highway. There's a law against that. You have to go at least 50. And the person looked at him with a kind of a confused look and said, but when I got on the interstate, it said 26. And the police officer says, that's because this is Interstate 26. The speed limit isn't 26, this is Interstate 26. And the driver, you know, hit his hand against his head and said, oh, that's such a relief. And he leaned over to the passenger and said, it's the interstate, it's not the speed limit. And the state trooper looked over at the other person, and the other person didn't move. And they were just white as a ghost, and didn't even respond to what the driver had said. And the patrolman said, is the person okay? And the driver said, she's fine. She's been like that ever since we got off Interstate 160. But anyway, I didn't hear that. That didn't happen. It was just a joke, but funny if it did. But before I get too far in here, I just want to take a moment and pray for us. Let's just all bow our heads and we'll pray. Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be up here, and I just thank you for being able to sit here and to get to talk with everybody here just about what kind of you have laid on my heart. And Lord, right now I'm it's just so unworthy to be up here and so unworthy to be sitting in this seat. And I just, I shouldn't be here, Lord, but you've put me here, and I just ask that I would not try to be clever or amusing or intelligent up here, but I would just get out of the way and let you speak. And I pray for my own heart that it would be open and all the other hearts that are sitting out there, and that we would just be open to what you would say to us today. And please speak through the scriptures and just minister to our hearts and help us to just pull one thing from these scriptures that we can take with us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go too far into the Bible, I wanted to ask you all a few questions. And I'm going to have you write down your answers. So if you've got a pen, you may use it on your just your bulletin. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. And just write it down. And if you don't have a pen, that's okay, because somebody to the left, to the right, in front or behind, there's a good chance that they will, and you can borrow theirs. But my first question is, what is sickness? What is sickness? Just take a minute or two. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just a little something about what is sickness. Your own definition. Can't look it up. No using any phones. No cheating. If anybody in the front row doesn't have a pen, I have one. So. What is sickness? Just a little thing. All right, if you're still writing it, that's okay. I'm going to move on to the second question, but you can still keep writing. Second question. What is the greatest sickness that is harming people today? What is the greatest sickness that is harming people today? Write it down, whatever you think. Greatest thing is affecting the most amount of people today. And finally, question three. Who most sick person that you or know of that is suffering from the sickness you mentioned in question two? So whatever the sickness is, you wrote down in question two, do you know a person or do you know of a person who is suffering from this? And just write that down. Anybody need any more time? All right, I'm going to move on. Fourth thing. Whatever you wrote on, just fold it up. Can't go back and change it. It's done. Just put it in your Bible, put it in your pocketbook, wherever. Just seal it up and put it away. So now we're going to tackle a few sicknesses that I believe we see in the scriptures today. Now, in today's message, we're going to be talking primarily about two people. And I would contend to you that both people have two sicknesses. Both of them have two sicknesses. But before I go into it, I'm going to give you a little bit of a reveal, as it were. I'm going to tell you what one of the sicknesses were. And you can be looking for the other one as we read through it. But one of the sicknesses that we're going to deal with today that both people suffer from, both main characters suffer from, is the sickness of leprosy. It's the sickness of leprosy. Now, before I go too far into reading it, I know that a lot of us have been in church for a while. I know that there's a lot of us that have read our Bibles, and we have probably, through listening to Pastor Kurt, or just through our reading, we see people have leprosy, but I don't know if we know what it really is or how it affects people. So I just wanted to give you a quick definition of what leprosy is and how harmful is it. So if we can go to the next slide, leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, is a long-term infection by the bacterium Mycobacterium leprae, or Mycobacterium lepromatosis. Initially, infections are without symptoms and typically remain this way for 5 to 20 years. Symptoms that develop include granulomas, or inflammation of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. This may result in a lack of ability to feel pain, which can lead to the loss of parts of extremities due to repeated injuries or infection due to unnoticed wounds. Weakness and poor eyesight may also be present. Leprosy is spread between people. This is thought to occur through a cough or contact with the fluid from a nose of an infected person. Leprosy occurs more commonly amongst those living in poverty. That is what leprosy is. That's the definition. Now that you know what it is, before I move on, I think you should know what it does to your body. And I have gotten, or I have got, a few pictures of a person with leprosy. I want to tell you this before the slide comes up, because it does not leave people unaffected. It's a very powerful disease. And I'm going to show two pictures just for about 5 or 7 seconds. And if you get, if you can't really look at someone who's sick or something, then I would just say just close your eyes for 5 seconds and I'll give you the warning, I'll give you the start, and then you can just look at it. But I think it's helpful to really get an understanding of what it actually does to a person. And so with that, we're going to turn to the next slide, and it's just going to be up for a few seconds. Now we're going to move on. Now that we have that background, I think we can go ahead and read our story. And our story is going to take place in 2 Kings chapter 5. If you all don't know where 2 Kings is, it's right after 1 Kings. It's a dead giveaway. But you can all turn there, and I'll have it on the screen as well. But we are going to read from there. And as we read, I would just like to encourage everyone out there. Some of you may have heard this story before. Some of you may have read it. But I would just ask that you would read it slowly and just allow the Lord to speak to something in your hearts. And just try and read it like you're reading it for the first time, like you don't know the characters and it's just brand new to you. So I'm going to start. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, verse 2. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. So they had gone out and had done raids, and one girl from Israel had been captured, and he was now serving Naaman's wife. And she said to Naaman's wife, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Now she then reported it to Naaman, and Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram said. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." So what we have here so far, we have a man who's living in a distant land. He's very powerful. He is very rich. He has a high position. And he is also a man of high character, very trustworthy. Something has happened that has changed his life. He has leprosy. Normally something, as we read before, that is usually reserved for the people who are in poverty. But he is not, which makes this somewhat of an anomaly. So he hears that a man in Samaria who could potentially heal him, he goes to the king, his master. He says, "Hey, let me go and let me go see if this guy can heal me." And the king says, "Absolutely, go. I'll write you a letter." And the king basically writes a letter to the king of Israel, said, "I've heard you got a man who can heal my person of leprosy. Thanks for healing him, and I hope you can do it." The king takes this as an impossibility. "I can't do that. What's going to happen is I'm not going to be able to cure him, or any of my people in my kingdom aren't going to be able to cure him, and he is just going to use this as a reason to pick a quarrel with me. He's going to use it to start a war because I can't do this. So that's what's happening in the story right now. Now, in case you're wondering about all the shekels and talents, if you want to come up and talk to me, I calculated it all out to ounces and pounds and how much money he had, but we don't need to go into all that. But he had with him what would be in today's value, millions of dollars. Millions of dollars he brought with him to give to the person who could cure him of his leprosy. We're going to go ahead and read on in verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be cleansed. So the guy finds out, okay, I'm supposed to go to Elisha. He goes to Elisha, goes to this prophet's house. This is a man of stature. This is a man of integrity. This is a very wealthy man, a very powerful man. And he walks up to a prophet's house, and prophets were not known for being extremely wealthy. Walks up to his house, rides up to his house in a chariot. And Elisha does not even walk out. He sends one of his servants to say, go wash in the river 7 times and you'll be cured. You have to look at this from the position of a man of power coming up to your house. Now, if President Trump were to walk up to the steps of this church and we would say, hey, thanks for coming, but you can listen to this sermon online. Okay? President Trump would not be happy, nor would any person of position, because they are used to people offering them respect and deference. And I think that it's a great thing to respect people and to welcome them in, and so I'm not saying that we should do that to people who come up to our church, but I am trying to get you to understand this is what is happening to a man of position. He feels slighted. He feels like he is not given the respect that he deserves. So we continue on in verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Here we see a very wise servant who is saying, Master, if he had told you to go conquer some territory, would you have done it? If he had told you to give him a bunch of money, would you have done it? If he would have told you to do any number of great things, wouldn't you have done it? Yes, I would have. Well, he kind of made it easy on you. All you have to do is go rinse in this river. So why not just go ahead and do it? And Naaman, seeing the wisdom of his servant, said, okay. And so we move on to verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. If you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. Verse 18, but may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said. I'll wait on that part. Go in peace, Elisha said. What we have here is a man who did go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. He went ahead and did what the prophet did. And his skin was restored to him. And the skin was like that of a young boy. And we have here great joy from Naaman and a change of heart. Because up until this point, he was sacrificing to other gods, and he didn't know that there was only one God and one God only. But after seeing the power, after going through his leprosy being healed, his heart was changed. And that is what we see here. And this is a wonderful, wonderful story. But the story does not end here. Because as we see, Naaman leaves. And after Naaman had traveled some distance, in verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running towards him, he got down off his chariot to say, is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, two men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing. By all means, take 2 talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. What we see is the person who is serving Elisha says to himself, I think that guy got off rather easy. Who gets cured of leprosy? And he didn't have to pay a thing. All he did was wash. I think this foreigner should have to pay a little something. And I guess I can accept it, he says to himself. So he runs off after him, creates a lie to receive some benefit from this rich man. Now, verse 24, when Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servant and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. When he went in and stood before his master Elisha, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? Your servant didn't go anywhere, Gehazi said. Verse 26, but Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. What sickness do both of these men, Gehazi and Naaman, suffer from? What sicknesses? Just think about it to yourself. What are the sicknesses that they suffer from? The first, I think, is leprosy. It's a physical leprosy. I would suggest to you that both the men at some point in this story both suffered from another sickness. Now, as we see, one of the men got cured of both sicknesses, while the other man was left with a slow and miserable death with a disease that was eating away at his body. One sickness I would suggest to you of the two is inconvenient. The second sickness, I would submit to you erodes your very being. I would like to take a moment to give you the answer, or to give you my answer to the question I asked you earlier, question one. And I'd also like to talk about question two. So I first asked you, what is sickness? I would submit to you my definition. It's not from anywhere else, just what I was thinking about. I would say sickness is when your physical, emotional, or spiritual self is not functioning at 100% of its capabilities due to something hindering your body, your mind, or your spirit. The first sickness we see is physical leprosy. I think this fits into the definition because we see a person's physical self is not functioning at 100% of its capabilities because there's a bacteria eating away at the body. And the hindering is the bacteria. This physical leprosy is the sickness that I would suggest to you is not that big of a deal. Now you might say, Joe, whoa, wait a second. You saw the pictures. You see how this disease, you see what this disease does to people. This is not a light thing. It's very serious. Physical leprosy is a big deal to people in this time. I would say you're right. However, when it is compared to the other leprosy in the eternal scheme of things, physical leprosy is relatively insignificant as compared to the other leprosy that I would submit to you. Now I would like to answer question two. What is the greatest sickness that is harming people today? My answer to you is this. It is the leprosy of spiritual lethargy, or the disease of being at ease. The leprosy of spiritual lethargy, or the disease of being at ease, spiritually speaking. And I would suggest to you that that leprosy is the one that is eating away at you and me today. It's eating away at all of us. It's when our spirit is just, I'm good. I don't think I'm that bad, Joe. I'm going to church. I think some of the real people who need to hear about Jesus, and I mean, I'm praying, but some of the people really need to pray, movie stars, have you seen some of the crazy things those people say? Or, if you talk to my mother for more than 30 seconds, it's the politicians. They're the ones that need it, Joe. Or the celebrities, or heathens from overseas, the Muslims, the Hindus, the atheists, people on Facebook, and all the rest. Those are the people that really, really need the Lord. But I need the Lord, but I don't even as much as those other people. That's what we think. That's what I think. I've been doing good. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never cheated on my husband. I don't lie about how much time I'm working. I go to church every single Sunday. I read a one-page devotional. I've been hanging out with other believers. I haven't stolen anything. I don't curse. I take care of my grandkids. I'm doing that for the Lord. I need Him, but I don't need Him as much as some of the other people. That's what we think. Now, question that I have for you. Have you or have I got to personally serve under the prophet Elisha, the man who requested and was given a double portion of the powers the spirit that Elijah had? Now, I know that all of you are listening and taking notes and serving under a great pastor, and Pastor Kurt. I know he's awesome. But he is not better than Elijah, or two times Elijah, which is what Elisha was. And I think he would admit that to you. And we have not been under that kind of tutelage. But Gehazi was. So how is it that one of the most devoted believers in all of Scripture, someone was his servant, how is it that this person fell victim to the leprosy of lethargy or the disease of being at ease? How is that possible? I think he did fall victim to this. And the reason I would give for that is found in verse 20. And it's this. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself. And I just want to stop right there. He said to himself. Who's he talking to? Himself. Did he ask the Lord? No. Did he pray about it? No. Did he see what the scriptures had to say about it? No, no, and no. He's talking to himself. He was controlling his life. He wanted physical possessions. Now, Joe, you might say, he didn't take a lot. He didn't take all of it. He only took a little bit. He only wanted a little bit. He just wanted just a tiny little taste. And I will agree with you. He did not ask for all that the man was willing to give. But he wanted something a little bit more than he wanted Jesus, than he wanted God. Just a little bit. And that's all that it takes. That's all it takes. And what happens when he got back from retrieving that little bit thing that he wanted more than God? He was exposed as a liar. He was cursed with leprosy, and his family was cursed with leprosy as well. I would submit to you that it was not a spur of the moment thing, but I would submit to you the same thing happened to him that happens to you and to I. It is truly a slow fade out of the intensity of spiritual authenticity. It's honestly a slow fade out of the intensity of spiritual authenticity to go to the leprosy of lethargy or the disease of being at ease. It's a very, very slow fade. And you know what's one of the saddest things about the kind of spiritual leprosy that we're talking about? Two very sad things happen when we have the leprosy of spiritual lethargy. For many of us, just like real leprosy, you won't see the symptoms for 5 to 20 years. You will not see it coming. You won't even notice that it's happening. It's a slow, slow fade, and it affects. And it all the while you think everything is fine inside of your body, there is a bacteria that is eating away at your very core. And lots of times, you will not notice it until it is too late. Up until the point that Naaman got back and talked to Elijah, there is not a recorded problem that he has. And on that whole ride home, he had money, he had silver, and he had clothing. It wasn't the full amount, but he had a little bit. And he did not even see how far it had come, and did not see what it cost him until it was too late. Until the infection had already taken place. And I think there's also another thing that is truly sad about this. And that is the leprosy of lethargy that affects us all. It does not only affect yourself. It affects your family. It affects every single person around you. Elisha said, this leprosy that is going to be with you is going to be with your family also. And they will be cursed from it. It never just affects you. It affects your family and your friends. Think about a spiritual person that you know of that is on fire. They're on fire for the Lord. What are they doing? Their positive spirit that is in them is affecting everyone around them in a positive way. You feel uplifted when you're around them. They're uplifting you. They're speaking wonderful words to you. And what happens with a converse? What happens when the leprosy of lethargy that is in us is not doing anything? Men, when we have that leprosy, are we praying over our wives? Are we leading them, encouraging them in the scriptures? Are we being the kind of men of moral standard at our workplaces? Are we being good fathers? Are we praying over our children out loud where they can hear us? Ladies, are we praying over our husbands? Are we encouraging them? Are we just kind of making it through with a kind of a blasé type attitude? I need God, but I don't need Him 100%. I need Him a little bit. I do. But I don't need Him 100%. I think that's a perfect description of myself. I don't need Him all the time. I just need Him a little bit. When it gets really, really tough, that's when I need Him. And what do we do when we think that? We are teetering on the seesaw of spirituality and bouncing up and down about whether God is important in our lives. Today He is, because I got a real big problem. Tomorrow, it's good. Bills are paid. I need Him a little bit. Not much. That's what we're teetering back and forth on. Just going back and forth and back and forth. And what does the Bible say about teetering back and forth? I think we see that in Revelation 3. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That is what the Bible says. But people who are teetering back and forth about whether do I really need God. And that, I think, describes me, and I think it describes a lot of us, because we don't really think and believe that we need Him. We're fine because we have our house. We don't have any leaky roofs. We have a nice dog or a cat. We have food enough to last us for at least 2 weeks, even if we didn't go to the grocery store. We're doing fine. But what does the Bible say that we actually are? What we are is wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That is what happens when we are suffering from the leprosy of spiritual lethargy. And I want to ask a question. Do we honestly think that we can, in our own strength, avoid temptation today? Or car accidents or whatever. Do you honestly think we can control this? Do we honestly think that we have the power for these things? Do we honestly think that we can make it through today and not need God for every single thing that we do? And that is the lie that I would submit to you that Satan is spreading to each and every one of us. Satan is perfectly fine to admit to you and to me, you do need God when it gets really rough. Sure, you need Him, but you don't need Him today. You're about to go to work. You don't have time to read your Bible. You don't have time to pray over your wife. And you know what? You don't need to. Your spirit is fine. You're doing great. The Lord's doing wonderful things. You've read your devotional every single day for the last year. Good for you. You'll read it tonight. You will. You're doing great. But what really goes on in our hearts? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart is deceitful and wicked, beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, every day, you and I wake up. We have two things warring with us. One of them is our sin. It's our flesh. You were born into it, and you will have it until the day that you die. And it is the thing, along with Satan, that whispers in your ear, you are fine. There is nothing wrong. Continue on. You're doing great. And that is warring with the spirit that is in us, that desires to read about the Lord, desires to pray for the Lord, and it desires to be close for the Lord. And some of us, myself the chiefest, are feeding that flesh of, I'm fine, I'm doing great, I don't need the Lord for every single thing that we do. But what is the spiritual application for us? We see our problem that we have. Our problem is we're not really caring about what the Lord's doing. 100%. We care a little bit. Some of us care 50%, 70%, 85%, 95%. And that's awesome. But we are not dependent 100% on the Lord. So what is the spiritual application to you and I? Where does that leave us? Joe, are you telling us that we honestly have no hope, that we can't do anything, that every time that we try, we are confounded and corrupted by our own flesh? We can't do anything? Is that all that we're left with at the end of this? Yes. Exactly. You can do nothing. You could do nothing about it. But I have great news for you. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything about it. Because that is the Lord's job. If you're saying to yourself, Joe, I have been in the leprosy of lethargy. I haven't really been going 100%. I haven't been giving my all to Christ. I haven't been doing that. And I can't stop. It's a pattern. I can't do anything. If you're thinking that, that's wonderful. You're in the place you need to be. Because you can't. But He can. If you start praying, Lord, I'm not crazy about You. I'm not 100% about You. My whole life is not dedicated to You. But I want it to be. Please help me. He will. Because that's what He does. And we see that lovely picture when we see Naaman. What was he told to do? He was told to go wash. And he washed in the Jordan 7 times, over and over and over and over again. I think that this provides us with a beautiful picture. Provides us with a picture of what we can do, and that is rely on the Lord. There is a picture in Ephesians 5 of the Lord, or that we husbands should wash our wives in the water of the Word. And I think it's a lovely little picture of that, of what we should wash ourselves in, which is the Word of God. It's not a devotional. It's not to say those aren't bad. Those are wonderful things. But don't let that be the only thing that you are immersing yourself with. Immerse yourself with the water of the Word. And there's also a part in the New Testament that talks about John the Baptist coming, and he would baptize with water, but Jesus would come and he'd baptize with the Spirit. And I would say that is another lovely picture of what we need to immerse ourselves in, and that is the Holy Spirit, sitting with him and talking with him. So my encouragement and my practical application for you and for me today is to read your Bible and pray every single day. Because that is the remedy for our sickness. It is not us that fix our sickness. It is coming to the Lord with a heart that says, Lord, I need you. I need you 100%, and I haven't been living with you. Haven't been living for you 100%. And that's the practical application for us today. For those of us who are suffering from the leprosy of spiritual lethargy, you can't fix it, but you can ask the Lord to fix it in you. And I promise you, you keep asking him. You keep banging down the Lord saying, Lord, I'm still not at 100. Please get me there. He will. And what I'd like to do now is I'm just going to play one song, and we're only going to play this song one time, and then after the song I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get in our circle. But as we just listen to it, I just would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to increase your love for him and to have a zeal for him, and pray for the intensity of spiritual authenticity. Pray for that. Pray for it to be real. And don't stop today, but pray later. Pray tonight, tomorrow. And I would just encourage you to do that. So as we pray, as we listen to this song, it's by Keith Green. It's called Create in Me a Clean Heart. And it is a song from David. So as we pray, just bow your heads and pray to the Lord and just listen to the words. Just let it minister to your heart.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit. Presence from salvation.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
And renew a right spirit within me.
And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God.
Sing it to Jesus.
Renew a right spirit within me.
Close your eyes and worship. Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from my presence.
Cast me not away. Oh Lord,
take not thy Holy Spirit.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me
the joy of thy salvation.
The joy of thy salvation.
And renew a right spirit.
And renew a right spirit within.
Come to a close. I just want to pray for everybody. Lord, we just ask that you would create in us a clean heart, Lord. That you would just do a wonderful work within us, and that we would devote 100% of our lives to you, and that we would pray to you and need you for every single thing that we do today, and that we would not fall into the leprosy of lethargy today, but that we would just realize our need to be cleaned and cured of this sickness, and that we would just realize that this sickness is with us every day, and we need you to heal us every single day and to give us that just desire for you. And we just ask you bless us with that today and this week. And Lord, as we gather together and we hold hands, Lord, I just ask you to bless this time, that you would just bless all those here and just give them all a safe trip home, and that we would just live for you today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.